Good morning, everyone. And today we're going to go over again with decimal to binary, binary to decimal conversions. And also, we're going to cover hexadecimal. And hexadecimal is the first point we're going to encounter. So I think it's important that we cover that. It is easier to convert hexadecimal to decimal, or hex to decimal, which is what most people will call it. Because hex is a base 16 numbering system, the numbers 0 to 9 and A to F are used. Because zero is always counted as one of the numbers, and 10 is represented by an A, 11 is represented by B, and so on through to 15, which is represented by an F. To calculate the conversion from hex to decimal, you start from the, if you've got two hexadecimal digits, we'll use C8 as an example. It's the use the right hexadecimal digit, which is 8, so which is 8 lots of 1 plus C, which is 12, which is, and that's 12 lots of 16. So 12 lots of 16 plus 8 lots of 1 adds up to 200. So can anybody tell me what FF in hexadecimal would be in decimal?
$255.
Yep, that's it. And Janitha, can you tell me what that consisted of?
That means 15 sixteens. I mean, it's 15 sixteens, and again 15, and it adds up to 265.
Yeah, 255. So FF is 15 lots of 1 plus 15 lots of 16. Then if we've got hexadecimal 100, that's 0 lots of 1 plus 0 lots of 16 plus 1 lot of 16 times 16, which is 256. So we've in using under that basis, what would hexadecimal 200 be in decimal?
$512.
Yep, that's it. So breaking that down, what would we have?
In the sense,
So it well
oh,
two
okay,
okay hexadecimal 200,
it's
which
the
you've
one
got
zeros.
is 0 lots of 1,
Is 0 lots
zero
of
lots of 16,
0
and
lots of
two
16.
lots of 16 times 16, which gives you 512. Monique, are you is that making sense to you at all?
Yes, hexadecimal
Got a lot of background noise through your mic today.
I was thinking Chopper is playing around.
Okay.
I'm near the airport, so they have to be.
Is Monique near an airport?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right, if we had a hexadecimal B0, what is that in decimal? No, because B is 11 and 0 is 0, of course. So that's 0 lots of 1.
176.
And 11 lots, yeah, it's 176. And because B is 11, we've got 11 lots of 16, which, as Ashoka said, it's 176. You can easily convert these using your Windows calculator in scientific mode by simply changing the from hex to decimal through the menu.
Function keys, I guess.
So if we've got a hexadecimal B2, what would that be in decimal? Yes, excellent. And what does that consist of, Monique?
Eleven lots of 16 and 2 lots of 1s.
Yep, that's it. Spot on. This is what I want. No, you're doing well. Okay, if we have a hex 30, what is that in decimal? Yep, that's it. So, and Dushantha, what does that consist of?
Sixteen lots of 3 and 2 lots of 0.
No, 0 lots of 1 plus 3 lots of 16 to give you decimal 48. You were sort of along the right lines, but not quite there. Okay, if we had a hexadecimal 201, what would that be in decimal?
530.
Did you say 513, Ashoka?
Yes, 513.
Yeah, and that... And Ashoka, that consisted of?
Yes, 1 lots of 1, 0 lots of 16, and 2 lots of 16 into 16.
Yep, that's it. Excellent. Now, here's a longer one for you. If we have a hexadecimal 3E8, what would that be in decimal? You can use your Windows calculator to do this one.
1,000.
Yep, and Monique, can you tell me what that consisted of?
Was it
3E? Yeah, the number 3, the E for egg, and the number 8. So we've got 3E8 would consist of 8 lots of 1. because E represents 14, that's 14 lots of 16, and 3 lots of 16 times 16. And you add those together, which gives you 1,000. Most of the time you're only going to have to work out 2 hexadecimal digits, and in some cases 3, but generally never any more than 3. So if you can understand the principle of the first digit to the right is the number of 1s, the next hexadecimal digit is the number of 16s, and if there's a third digit, it's the number of 16 times 16. Is that sort of fairly clear for everyone?
Yes.
Yeah.
What about you, Rassica? Is that fairly understandable or not?
I couldn't understand, sir, but I will ask from Ashok and Janita.
Yeah, as I say, if you've got questions, if it's easier for, say, Ashoka or Janita to explain it in your native language, that's fine. It's as long as you can understand the material. But any questions any of you have got, please send me an email with the questions. It's so important that you understand the material.
Excuse me, Dean. I'm talking to Rasika. Is it okay for 1 minute? Taking 1 minute?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
රසිකවන්ති දැන් සමහරකට වට මේක මේ දැන් තේරුම් ගත්තොත් ලේසි අපි කියමුකෝ 3E8 තිබ්බා කියලා 3E8 තිබ්බත් එහෙම එතකොට අපි කරන්න ඕනේ ඉස්සල්ලාම දැන් දකුණු පැත්තේ ඉලක්කම 8නේ දකුණු පැත්තේ ඉලක්කම හැම වෙලෙම එතකොට බිංදුව ඒ කියන්නේ 16 ගොඩවල් විතර බලන්න ඕනේ ඒ කියන්නේ බිංදුවේ බිංදුව 16
බිංදුවේ බලය ඒ
කියන්නේ හැම වෙලෙම එකට සමානයි හැම වෙලෙම යම් කිසි දෙයක බිංදුව වෙනි බලය සමානයි වන්දි එකට. ඒක දැන් ගණිත න්‍යායයක්. දැන් හරිද? ඒ නිසා දකුණු පැත්තේම තියෙන හැම වෙලෙම එක. දැන් දෙවෙනි එක හැම වෙලෙම 16. අපි කියමු දෙවෙනි එක තිබ්බා කියලා දෙවෙනි ඉලක්කම. ඒ කියන්නේ 16 වරක් 2.
එතන
එන්න ඕන. දැන් අපි කියමුකෝ මෙහෙම තිබ්බා කියලා 112 කෙනෙක් ගත්තා කියමුකෝ 1 1 2 තිබ්බා කියලා. එතකොට ඔන්න දැන් මේක බලන්න මුලින්ම දකුණු පැත්තේ කෙළවරේ තියෙන 2. එතකොට දැන් 2 වැඩි වෙන්න ඕනි මං කියන්නේ හැම වෙලේම මේ බිංදුවේ බලය සමානයි කියලා එකට. එතකොට දෙවරක් 1 2යි.
ඔව්.
ඊළඟට ඊට පස්සේ තියෙන්නේ 112 දැන් 2 ගිය රස්තේ 1නේ වම්කට පැත්තට වෙන්න.
1
1
ඔව් එතන එක් පාරක් 16 16යි මන්නේ. හරිද? ඊට පස්සේ දැන් තුන්වෙනි ඉලක්කමත්
තියෙනවා
දැන් ඔන්න 112 දැන් එකක් ගියා දැන් තව තියෙන පළවෙනි එක ඒක මල්ලි හැම වෙලේම එන්න ඕන 16 වැඩි කිරීම 16 වෙනි බලයට තමයි සමාන වෙන්නේ 16 දෙවෙනි බලය කියන්නේ
හරි
يعني ඉලක්කම 256 තමයි සමාන වෙන්නේ එතකොට දැන් ආවා 256යි 16යි 2යි ඔය දෙක එකතු වෙන්න ඕනේ වැඩි කොක්කම එතකොට තමයි ඩෙසිමල් නම්බර් එක හම්බෙන්නේ.
ආ හරි.
ඒක එච්චර අමාරු නැහැ. අර මේ يعني ඉතින් අදන්න චුට්ට එක පාට අමාරු වෙන්න
පුළුවන්. හරි හරි.
හරි
හරි. හරි මල්ලි. ඔක තමයි මූලධර්මය හොඳයි.
272 අය.
නව ඔකේ.
නව ඔකේ. There we go. Did that make any much more sense with Rex with Ashoka's explanation, Rassica?
No, I
yes, that
okay,
expression
yes.
was yeah.
Excellent. All right, we'll do another little one. If we've got a hexadecimal 111, what is that in decimal? Use your Windows calculator if you need to. Yep, spot on. And that consists of? So it's 273, Rassica, which consists of one lot of 1, one lot of 16, and one lot of 16 times 16, which gives you 273. And that
yes,
in
yes.
bin
sorry.
And that in binary is 1000101. Anything with an odd number, the last binary bit is always going to be a 1, because anything to the power of 0 is 1. So if we had hexadecimal 110, that what's that going to be? Yeah, because all we've done is drop the one off the end. Because we've only dropped one lot of one off, it's going to be 272. So that in binary is going to be 1001000. Is everybody happy enough if we move back to the decimal to binary conversions? Are we clear on the hexadecimal to decimal conversion? Or would you like to go through some more examples?
What do? Are we proceeding with the examples or going for a new one?
No, that's what I'm asking you. Is everybody comfortable enough to go on to the binary to decimal conversions, or do you want to just go through some more hexadecimal to decimal conversions? Can everybody respond, please? I need to know whether you're comfortable with the hexadecimal to decimal conversions. Otherwise, I'll do some more examples.
Okay, let's
proceed.
Well, Ashoka, you seem to be fairly comfortable with it. Yep. So we move on. Yep. All right, we'll move on to the decimal to binary conversions. Can anybody tell me what 192 in decimal is to binary?
1 and 8 0, double 1 and 8 0.
It's 1 1 and 6 0s. Because how you're working it out is the largest power of 2 that's less than 192 is 128. So you put a 1 under the 128. And that leaves 62. 62 is equal to 62, so you put a 1 under the 62. Sorry, 64, sorry. And that
64.
Leaves all zeros, so you've got 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, if we've got a decimal 200, what's that in binary? You can do these on the it's 1100100, which consists of 2 to the power of 7 plus 2 to the power of 6 plus 0 lots of 2 to the power of 5 plus 0 lots of 2 to the power of 4 plus
1 love two.
Plus 2 to the power of 1 2 so it's 1100100. You can actually cut and paste things out of the Windows calculator. Is everyone familiar with that?
Yes.
Monique, Janitha and Rassica, do you know how to cut and paste the response from a Windows calculator?
Yes.
That's what I was doing, actually.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's if in a work situation you could do it like that anyway. Okay, we'll do another one. If we've got a decimal 11, what's that in binary?
1011. 1011.
Yep, that's it. Generally, in the answers for worksheets, you generally would put the leading zeros. It just makes it easier when anybody's marking the worksheets if you're asked to put the binary conversions. But because
we
all
put the zeros in front of
if it's in a worksheet in particular, generally you would put the leading zeros as well.
Up to which level, Mr. Adams? I mean,
It's better for your understanding to put the leading zeros because then you're representing the 8 bits in each octet.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Like, for an example, decimal 256 in binary is one and eight zeros because it's one lot of 2 to the power of 8 plus zero values for all the other ones.
Yeah, and of course you had to put all leading zeros.
Yeah. Whereas if it was,
But in that example, the zero comes not in front, okay? You need to put
That's
there.
right,
Yeah, it's not a
because
leading
you
position.
have to, that's right, because you're leading with a
One.
binary value of one, because there's no zeros to the left of it. Then, of course, if you had a decimal value of 256, it would be 1 7 zeros, then a one, because any odd number that you'll find in decimal is always has a binary value of one
Ends at one.
under the rightmost bit, because anything to 2 to the power of 0 is one. So, as an example, if you've
As
got
an example,
decimal 193, you're going to have
you're
11,
going
5 zeros, and a
to
1,
have
which gives you your 193.
Okay, for example, if we have a decimal 1 to be converted into binary, then we need
Binary.
to write 0 0 0 0 0 and 1.
It's 7 zeros and a one. Like, 7 leading zeros and a
Okay.
one at the rightmost bit.
Yeah, then anyway, it must consist of a bit. Then, and the other thing, if the just in case, if the number exceeds that 1 bit limit, are we supposed to go on to 16 zeros, leading ones, in just in case?
Generally, or it. What's an example where you put the leadings in? Generally, most of the time, you're only needing the binary value of an 8-bit, like a single octet. Because if it's any more than that, that's generally not doesn't have leading zeros, because it's generally. Well, we use. Hexadecimal 100 as an example, which is decimal 256, which is 2 to the power of 8. So at 1 and 8 zeros, you're not going to have any leading zeros anyway.
Excuse
Okay,
me,
go
Dean.
ahead.
Excuse me, Dean. ජනිත මල්ලි එහෙම
Yeah.
අවස්ථා ඉන්න පුළුවන්ද?
එහෙම ඒවා දැන් අර මේවා දැන් අර දැන් 256 නේ අන්තිමේට එන්නේ. ඒතර දැන් 512ට වගේ ගියොත් එහෙම මේ දැන් දෙවනි බිට් එකේ දෙවනි ඔක්ටේව් එකේ ඉඳලා ගන්නවනේ. Is it Mr. Adams? I mean, just in case if we are supposed to convert this 512 into binary, the as you mentioned lastly that we only have to mention the one that comes from the second bit, and afterwards altogether 8 zeros.
Okay, well, 512 in binary is 1 1 and 8 zeros. because
Yeah, then no need to put that six leading zeros for the second octave, right?
No, there's no need to do it in that case.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, if we've got a decimal 63, what's that in binary? Yep, that's it. Do you want to run that through for a Rassica or Shaker, please?
Yeah, it's better, no?
Yeah, it's better.
What's the name?
දැන් මෙහෙමයි වල් දැන් එයා ඇහුවේ 63 කියන මේ ඩෙසිමල් වැලියු එක කොහොමද මේ මොකද්ද මේවට තෙල්ලන්නේ කියලා මොකද්ද මේ බයිනරි කරන්න කියලා මම තමයි එක සැරයක් කිව්වද මම මතකද මල්ලි
ආ ඒ ටික
මතක 63 ඒ ටික මතක මතකයි නේද දැන් 63 ගත්තොත් එහෙම අර ටේබල් එක අපි ලියාගෙන තියාගන්නේ කොහොඳයි දැන් අර මම කිව්වේ 1 1 2 4 8 16 32 64 128 කියලා ලියාගෙන තියාගත්තාම ඒකට කිට්ටුම ඉලක්කම අපි බලන්න ඕනේ. අපි කියමුකෝ දැන් 63 කිව්වොත් එහෙම. හැබැයි කොයි වෙලාවකත් ඒ ඉලක්කම දැන් අපි බලන ඉලක්ක වලට ලොකු වෙන්න බෑ. 63 නම් 63ට කිට්ටුම ඉලක්කම මේ වැලියු එකෙන් 32 නේ.
ආ
32 එන්නේ. ආ. ඒතර 32 63න් 32ක් අඩු කරන්න පුළුවන් නිසා අපි එතන 1 දානවා. ඊට පස්සේ ඉතුරුයි 31ක්. ඒතර 31න් 5 අඩු කරන්න තියෙන 16ක්. එතනත් එක දාන පුළුවන් නිසා ඊට පස්සේ 8න් 15ක් සර් 15න් 8ක් පුළුවන් නිසා එක දානවා ඊට පස්සේ 7න් 4ක් පුළුවන් නිසා එක දානවා ඊට පස්සේ 3න් 2ක් පුළුවන් නිසා එක දානවා 1න් 1ක් පුළුවන් නිසා එක දානවා එතකොට එකේව 6ක් එනවා මල්ලී අරයා කියන්නේ දැන් එකේව 6ක් ආවට දැන් මුලින්ම අර බිංදු දෙක එන්න ඕනනේ හරිනම් අර 128ට නෑ 64ට නෑ කියලා ඒ දෙකක් දාන්න එක තමයි යා කියන්නේ
කොහමරි බයිනරි එකක් වෙනකොට ඉලක්කම් 8කින් සම්බන්ධ වෙන්න ඉලක්කම් 8ක් තියෙනවා.
ඔය ඉලක්කම් දානකොට බිංදු දානවා නම් ඉස්සරහට තමයි දාන්නේ නේ. වැඩි පොර 8 වෙන්න බිංදු දානවා නම් ඉස්සරහට බිංදු දානවා නම් එක දාන්න ඉස්සරහට නේ.
ඒ කියන්නේ ඉලක්කම් 8 සම්පූර්ණ වෙන්න ඉස්සරහට බිංදු වැටෙන්න ඕන නම් يعني බිංදු වැටෙන්න ඕන නම් ඒ වැටෙන්නේ ඔක්කොම ඉස්සරහට.
එහෙම නීතියකුත් නැහැ. දැන් ඔයාගේ ඉලක්කම් ගන්න අඩු නම් ඉලක්කම් දැන් කියන්න 1 1 0 0 කියලා මේ මොකක් හරි බයිනරි වැලියු එකක් තියෙනවා නම් වා මුලට බිංදු 4ක් දාලා තමයි ඒ ගාන දාන්න ඕන මේ ඒක එහෙම එනවා නම් නැත්නම් 8ක්ම ඉලක්කම් එනවා නම් මේ දැන් කියන්නේ 8ක් සාමාන්‍යයෙන් එන්නේ 256 හරි 255 හරි ඒ වගේ ගානකටනේ එතකොට මේ ඒ 8ම දාන්න ඕනේ. එහෙම නැත්නම් ඊට අඩු ගානක් තියෙනවා නම් අර ඉලක්කම් 8ම කවර් වෙන විදිහට බිංදු වැටෙන්න ඕනේ කොහොමද?
ඔව් ඒ බිංදු වැටෙන්නේ අර ඉලක්කම් ටිකේ ඉස්සරහට.
මෙහෙමයි මල්ලි. දැන් අපි කියමුකෝ දැන් අර මේ උදාහරණ දි ගත්තත් දැන් අපි 63නේ ගත්තේ. 63 ගන්නකොට අපි බැලුවේ මුලින්ම 63ට කිට්ටුම ආසන්න හැබැයි මේ 63 ඉලක්කමට වඩා අඩු වෙන මේ ටේබල් එකේ තියෙන සංඛ්‍යාව 32 වෙච්ච නිසා තමයි අපි එතනට එක ගෙනිච්චේ. නැත්නම් ඇත්තම මුලින්ම අපි හරිනම් බලන්න ඕනේ.
ඔව්.
63න් 128ට අඩු කරන්න පුළුවන්ද කියලා බලන්න ඕන. එතකොට 63 128ට අඩු කරන්න බෑනේ. දැන් මෙයා කියන්නේ එතනට බැරි නිසා බිංදුව දාන්න ඕනේ කියලා. 63න් ඊට පස්සේ ඉලක්කම 64.
හරි හරි.
එතකොට 63න් 64ක් අඩු කරන්න බැරි නිසා දැන් අපි මෙච්චර කාලෙ දැම්මේ නෑ එහෙම.
එතනට බිංදුව වැටෙනවා.
එක අඩු කරගෙන ඉච්චක තමයි. ඔයා කියන්නේ එහෙම බිංදුවක් දාන්න ඕන කියලා. එකෙන් মানে බිංදු එනවද නැද්ද කියන තීරණය වෙන්නේ අර අරක ටේබල් එකෙන් අඩු වැඩි කරන්න පුළුවන් ඒ කියන්නේ වැලියු එක හැටියට තමයි
අඩු වැඩි ඔව් හරි සාදරේ හරි ආශකයි
දැන් දීලා තියෙන බයිනරි වැලියු එකෙන් දැන් අපේ ටේබල් එකේ වැලියු එක අඩු කරන්න පුළුවන් නම් එක දානවා බැරි නම් බිංදුව දානවා
නැත්නම් බිංදුව වැටෙනවා
එහෙම තේරුම් ගත්තාම ලේසියි තමයි.
So, how do we go with that?
Yeah, it's fine. I think it's understood.
Oh, excellent. Okay, if we've got
okay,
decimal 242, what would that be in binary? Which is it? 11110010. So to break that down for Rassica to make it a bit easy to understand, that's one lot of 2 to the power of 7, one lot of 2 to the power of 6, one lot of 2 to the power of 5, one lot of 2 to the power of 4, and one lot of 2 to the power of 1. Which gives you the 242. It's really important that you understand these conversions, because when it's used with the subnetting and subnet masks, it can help you identify whether a host is on a particular the same subnet as another host, which you will get in a lot of the questions in the later modules in Discovery 2 and so on. Because what it's called is, it's called logical anding, where you have an IP address, you put the binary equivalent of the IP address, then you put the binary equivalent of the subnet mask directly underneath it. And what a logical AND, which is called Boolean logic, a logical AND, if both binary bits are equal to a 1, then the value is 1. If one is a 0 and the other one is a 1, the value is going to be a 0. So both, if you work out under each, if it's whether it's a class A, B, or C, or a classless interdomain routing subnet, where there's a 1, where each value is a 1, then the answer for the logical ANDing is going to be a 1. Which in one of the module worksheets, you're asked to answer that question.
Mr. Adams, actually, by logical ANDing, those subnet mask and IP address, what is the significance of that results?
It defines whether a particular host is on a and it tells you what subnet it's on. Because as we know, that subnet masks are all ones and the host bits are all zeros. Like your class, can anybody run through me what the standard subnet masks are for a class A, B, and C subnet?
255.255.255.0.
Which is the, what class is that, Monique?
Class A.
No, it's around the other way.
Class C, okay. Right?
Yeah. Class A is 255.0.0.0. Class B is 255.255.0.0, and as you just said, class C is 255.255.255.0.
But actually, can't we get that result by only looking at the subnet mask itself?
It depends on if you're using classless inter-domain routing or CIDR, you might have borrowed, say, 3 bits from the host portion to make smaller subnets instead of the standard subnet mask. For an example, you might have an office where you've got 4 departments and you want to break them into separate subnets. So you borrow 3 bits from the host portion, which gives you 5 bits for the hosts and 3 bits for the subnet, extra subnet mask, which would then, which is then written as, say, 192.168.5/27, which gives you 30 usable hosts with a network address and a broadcast address. Because to work out the subnet, the usable hosts, it's 2 to the power of bits left for host. So in that case, there was 5 bits for the host, which is 2 to the power of 5, which is 32, minus your broadcast address and your network address. So it's always 2 to the power of number of bits that are left for the host minus 2.
Okay, then in that case it's 30. Okay. මොකක්ද සර?
Excuse me.
මොකක්ද සර?
අර මේ අපිට කිව්වද දැන් මේකදී අර දැන් අපි කියමුකෝ මේ ඕන වෙනවා කියලා දැන් කුඩායි සමානයි. ඊපස්සේ මේ විශාලයි සමානයි විශාල අර ඒ ටික දැනගන්න ඕන කියලා කිව්වද මෙයා? එහෙම එකක් කිව්වද දැන් අර අපි කියමුකෝ less than equal greater than equal. ඒක ගැන කිව්වද යා? නැත්නම්
නෑ ඒක නෙමෙයි මේ මේක අර දැන් කිව්වත් එහෙම මේ මෙහෙම හිතන් දැන් අර සබ්නෙට් මාස්කින් වලදී ක්ලාසස් දැන් ABC වලට
හරි
තියනනේ අර 255 බින්දු ඩොට් බින්දු බින්දු එහෙම කියලා එතකොට අර දැන් ගන්නවනේ IP ඇඩ්‍රස් එකේ හෝස්ට් පෝෂන් එකිනුත් බිට් ගානක් සබ්නෙට් එකක් හදන්න එහෙමනේ අර අනිත් 255 ඒවා එන්නේ ක්ලාස් BC වෙන්න
ඉතින් හෝස්ට් පෝෂන් එක බින්දුවනේ
ඔව් දැන් ඒ කියන්නේ දැන් නිකන් අපි IP ඇඩ්‍රස් එක ගත්තොත් ඒකේ නෙට්වර්ක් පෝෂන් එක දැන් ඒකේ දැන් අර තියෙන මේ දැන් මොකක්hari ඩිපාර්ට්මන්ට් එකකට මේ net 30ක් හදන්න ඕන නම් ඒකට දෙකක් එකතු කරලා ඒක කීවෙනි බලයද කියලා බැලුවාම අර මේ දැන් අන්තිම ඉලක් දැන් IP ඇඩ්‍රස් එකේ අන්තිම ඩිජිට්ස් ගානට කලින් අර අන්තිම ඩොට් එකට කලින් එන ඩිජිට් එක ඩිටර්මින් කරගන්න පුළුවන් ඒක නෙන්නේ ඒ කියන්නේ හොස්ට්
වැලියු එකට So the subnet mask, if you're borrowing 3 bits, is going to be 255.255.255.224, or it can be written as 192.168. We'll use dot one as then /27 because you're using 27 bits okay. for the network address.
Dean, excuse me. Why is not becoming 255.255.253.2?
Because the subnet mask is always all ones. So like a standard class C subnet mask, as we know, is 255.255.255.0. But because we're borrowing 3 bits in this example from the host portion, it's then written as 255.255.255.224.
That 224 becomes by reducing that 32 from 255, is it? Sorry, it's 31 actually.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that zero is always counted as one of the numbers. It's actually, if you actually minus it off 256, that's right. Because you'll get a question in one of the module tests, how many possible addresses are there in each octet? Is it 254, 255, or 256?
255.
Don't forget your, no, it's 256 because you're counting at 0 to 255, because 0 is counted as one of the numbers.
Ah, yeah, I got it.
Because it is a bit of a trick question, but you've always got to remember that 0 is always counted as one of the numbers. Because you might have an IP address of, say, like a private IP address of 192.168.0.1, whereas the last value in the octet is the host address. In that case, it would be the gateway address, using George's example on his network setup at home. But when you're breaking them down, if you want to create smaller subnets, this is when you're borrowing bits from the host portion of the IP address.
Then by logically ending those two, you get whether I mean, how many subnets are there, or you get...
Okay, to work out how many subnets there are, to find out how many hosts you're going to have using the amount of bits that are left, we'll use the 5 and 3 as an example. 2 to the power of 5 gives you the number of... minus 2 gives you the amount of hosts that you've got. Then... the amount of bits that you're borrowing from the subnet mask, sorry, from the host portion, you multiply that to the power of 2. So you've got 3 bits, so it's 2 to the power of 3. So you've got 8 subnets that you can use, which have 30 hosts in each.
Excuse me, Dean.
එතකොට මේ network portion එකකින් එපා බරව කරන්න අර දැන් අරගේ තියෙන limited කියන්නේ එක bit එකකට අදාළ ඒවා විතරනේ. එතකොට අරකින් බරව කරලා වුණේ subnet හදන්න මේ space එක ගන්න network.
දැන් අපි කියමුකෝ මේ ඒ තුන්වෙනි කොටසෙන් අපි මේ bits දෙකක් ගත්තා කියලා. bits දෙකක් කියන්නේ
error subnet හතරක් කියන්නේ. ඒ කියන්නේ bits දෙකක් කියන්නේ දෙකේ දෙවැනි බලයනේ. දැන් bits 3ක් ගත්ත නිසා තමයි subnets 8ක් ආවේ ඉස්සෙල්ලා. එතකොට දැන් අපි බිට් දෙකක් බරෝ කරනවා කියලා දැනගත්තා නම් මේ අහගත්ත හැකි සබ්නෙට්ස් කීයක් දෙන්නේ කියලා. සබ්නෙට්ස් එතකොට හතරයි එන්නේ.
හරි, ඒක හරි. දැන් අපි කියමු දැන් අපි බිට් දෙකක් ගත්තොත් ඒක දෙකේ දෙවැනි බලයෙන් ඉඳ ඔයා කියන්නේ මේ හතරක් කියලා නේද?
ඔව්.
ප්‍රතිමලේ ඇත්තම දෙකේ දෙවැනි බලය දෙකයි. හතරයි නේ. හරි හරි හරි.
එතකොට මේ IP address එක එන්න එන්නේ 192.168.5 5නේ. අරකෙදි ඉස්සල් ලැකෙදි තිබුණේ ඒ වෙනුවට දැන් අපි ගත්තේ 3 bits නිසා 3 dot කියක. අයන 3.00 ඉඳලා 3. මං හිතන්නේ ගන්න පුළුවන් අපිට මේ හෝස්ට්ලා. එතකොට සබ්නෙට් හතරට ඉන්නවනේ. හෝස්ට්ලා දාන්න පුළුවන්. දැන් අරක පහට 30ක් දැම්මනම් මේකට 24ක් කියමු. එතකොට මේ 23 වෙනවා.
හරි, මල්ලි ඔයාලා එක මේ මොනා හරි එක්ස්ප්ලේන් කරන්න ලේස් ක්‍රමයක් තෝරගත්තොත් මම හොයාගත්තොත් මටක් කියන්න හොඳේ. මට තේරෙන්නේ නැහැ නේද නේද.
හරි හරි, ඒක තමයි මේ චුට්ටක් මම අර ඩබල් ID කරලා තිබ්බේ ඉඳලා ටිකක් මීට වෙච්චා. Okay, Mr. Adams, I think it must be continued after the lecture.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Okay, so your subnet mask for an address that's borrowing 3 bits from the host portion in the last octet using the 192.168.5 example. Is your subnet mask is going to be 255.255.255.224, and your networks are going to be broken down as you got 0 to 31 for the first range of IP addresses, whereas 0 is your network address and 31 is your broadcast address, and your next range of IP addresses is going to be 32 to 63, whereas 32 is your network address and 63 is your broadcast, and then the next range of IP addresses is going to be 64 to
127.
Not, it's to, sorry, 91. Yeah. Hang on, 64 plus 32.
To
95, right? Yeah, so it's not to 95 yet, because 95 is your broadcast address. So that's how it's broken down like that. I'll actually write it out as an example, so it makes it a bit easier to understand. I've got several examples I can see. Yep.
Mr. Dean,
yeah.
Could you kindly go through another simple example? For example, let's say our subnet mask is to default subnet mask is 255.255.255.0, okay? So we are...
Yeah, which is your standard class C address.
Okay.
Standard
class C address. Yes, so we are borrowing two bits, okay. 2 bits from the fourth zero, okay? Not the third, 255.
In a standard class C address, where you're not borrowing any bits, because you've got the full 8 bits for the host addresses. But if you're borrowing, say, 2 bits from the host address, which is a subnet mask of 25.255.255.192, it gives you 2 to the power of 2 is 4. Gives you 4 subnets. And 62 possible host addresses with one network address and one broadcast address.
Mr. Adams, how do you calculate that 62?
It's the number of bits borrowed minus 2 to the power of 2. So, because we borrowed 2 bits for the network address, and we've left with 6 bits for the host address, so it's 2 to the power of 6, which is 64, minus 2, which is one address for your network and one address for your broadcast address.
Then that remaining bits is the one that can cause the calculation of the IP address range, kind of.
Yeah, so because in that case, because we're borrowing 2 bits from the host portion, in that example, your subnet mask is going to be 255.255.255.192. Because you're borrowing 2 bits, or it can be written as 192.168.5.26, because you're using 26 bits for the network address.
Okay.
So what you're basically doing, generally, if it's written as a slash 26, 27, 28, and so on, that's generally classified as classless interdomain routing, or CIDR, when you're needing to break your subnet masks into separate network addresses to divide, say, an office, as an example, into 4 different subnets, so that, say, the accounting's on one set, the sales department's on another, and so on like that. Does that make sense to everyone or not? Or do you want me to explain it in a different way?
Okay, got it. But after all, we deviated from calculations to subnetting.
Yeah, but it sort of, it interconnects, though.
Yeah.
Because once you understand the decimal to binary conversion, then you can then relate that to subnetting, and that they're all interconnected.
Okay, then that's fine, because I was the one who raised the question and deviated the subject.
No, that's all right. Well, sometimes it needs to go that way. Because subnetting is one of the most important aspects of the discovery courses. You'll find it. Once you understand the fact that you're, when the bits borrowed and the bits left for hosts in each question that you might be asked through the course, and knowing the binary values in decimal to the power of 2, it'll help you answer things really quickly.
Yeah, that's fairly confusing, and without practice, it's a bit hard actually.
Yeah, no, well, I'll send you as many examples as I can to try and break that down, but we'll go back to the decimal and binary to decimal conversions.
Okay.
Mr. Dean, actually, I have a clear idea of converting decimal to binary and hexa and so on, but I don't understand why I don't understand about borrowing this thing.
What with the borrowing bits from the host portion, like we'll stick with the class C standard subnet addresses to start with, because the first three octets are generally your network address, right?
Yes.
And the last octet with the 8 bits from 0 2 to the power of 0 to 2 to the power of 7 are there for your host portion, right?
Yeah.
But does that zero have any value
Yes,
to
the
borrow?
2 to the power of 0 is always 1. But you've got to remember that 0 is always generally a network address, but it's always counted as one of the numbers. So 0 to 255 gives you 256 possible addresses.
Yeah, but can we take 0 as one of the valid addresses? So you have to omit it, right?
Generally, on most integrated services routers that you'd have in a small office or home business, the first IP range isn't counted because generally the dot zero network is a network address. It's not a host address. Normally the next first subnet mask subnode is used. While you're using the amount of bits borrowed is to give you smaller subnets so you're not wasting IP addresses. So, for an example, if you've got an office where each department might only have 10 workers in each office, and you've assigned an IP address with 30 hosts in it, that means that you've wasted 20 IP addresses, but you'll always have a certain margin for increasing staff. And the bits you're borrowing are to enable you to break down, instead of having a whole subnet mask with giving you a standard class C address of 254 hosts, and you only need, say, 15 host addresses, that's why you're borrowing the amount of bits that change that network address into smaller portions. Does that make more sense, Ashoka, or not?
Okay, Dean, it's okay. I will learn later. I mean, it will take some time for me to understand this.
Yeah, well, it was for me too. I didn't. It took me quite a while to understand it, but once you sort of get the concept, you sort of wonder why that you never got it in the first place. What do they call it? Like the light bulb moment when all of a sudden it'll make sense. Okay, we'll use another example. if you borrow 2 bits from the host portion from a Class C address, you're going to have 62 possible host addresses with a network and broadcast address and 4 subnets. Or if you're borrowing, the minimum you can borrow is 2 and the maximum is 6. If you're borrowing 6 bits, that means you're going to have 2 host addresses, 1 network address and 1 broadcast address. And that would be written, excuse me, because you're borrowing 6 bits, that would be written as 192.168. Oh no, the subnet mask, hang on, got myself. Yeah, 192.168.5/30, because you're using 30 bits for the network addresses, and you have 2 bits left for the host portion, but that's normally only used on a serial link between 2 routers, or a wireless link between 2 wireless access points. So your network addresses are going to be 0 to 3, 4 to 7, 8 to 11, and so on. Does that make any sense, Ashoka, or not?
Yes, it's quite okay. We'll proceed, Celine.
Yeah, because you've got to remember, as I said, remembering that 0 is counted as your first address. So in that case, where you've got a total of 4 addresses, one your network address and then your broadcast address, so 0 to 3 are 4, there's 4 addresses. Then 4 to 7 is the next 4 addresses. Yep, so we're following that.
Yeah, that is okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then once you get used to calculating the number of host addresses and the number of bits borrowed to work out how many possible host addresses you're going to have versus how many networks you're going to get out of it, subnetworks. So to work out the number of host bits you're going to get is 2 to the power of bits that are a remainder, and to work out the number of network addresses, it's 2 to the power of number of the bits borrowed. So if it's if you borrowed 2 bits, it's 2 to the power of 2, which is 4 addresses. Or if you borrowed 3 bits, it's 2 to the power of 3 is 8, which gives you 8 network addresses. And then for the host addresses, it's you've got 5 bits remaining left for the hosts. So it's 2 to the power of 5, which is 32, minus 2, which is 30 possible addresses. And that's worked out right through. And you can only borrow a minimum of 2 bits and a maximum of 6 out of 1 octet. But as another example, if you've got an address of 172.16, /16 and hang on. No, explain it differently. If you've borrowed 3 bits from a standard Class B address, how many bits have you left for the host portion? No, you've got to read that host portion. You've borrowed 3 bits from a Class B address because it's 255.255 is a normal subnet mask. But if you've borrowed 5 bits from the host portion, you're going to have 11 bits for the hosts.
Oh, yeah, out of 16, right.
But that would be written as 172.16 slash 21, because you're using 21 bits for the network address and 11 bits for the host addresses. And what's 2 to the power of 11?
Is
2048
or
something. Yeah, minus 2 for your network address and your host and your broadcast address. That's actually one of the questions in one of your worksheets.
Oh.
Do we want to continue on with trying to discuss the subnetting, or do we want to go back to converting binary to decimal?
I guess for the benefit of others also, it's better to proceed in binary decimal thing.
Okay, well, all right, if we've got decimal 200, what's that in binary? Yep, that's it. Rassi, are you following that?
Hello, Rassi.
Hello,
Johnny. Oh, hang in the
Yes, I am.
Dushyant.
How are you?
I'm feeling confusion.
නෑ මැච් එක බැලුවට ඇන් ලයින් නේද
Okay, if we have decimal 67, what's that in binary?
One
Yeah, putting the leading zero there to make it a bit easier. So it'll be 0 1 0 0 0 0 1 1.
Yeah.
Because remembering, if it's an odd number, your rightmost bit in the last octet is always going to be a 1. As I'll repeat it over again anyway, that anything to the power of 0 is always 1. So if you've got 223 or 197 or 67 or 65, the rightmost bit is always going to be a 1.
By the way, actually, in networking, are we concerned about signed and unsigned bits?
When you say signed and unsigned, you sort of want to elaborate on that a bit?
In the sense, like, whether the value is plus or minus sort of thing.
No. It's the value in binary is either, it's either on or off, or a 0 or a 1.
Yeah, but I mean, there's something called that you put 1 at certain places to indicate whether it's a kind of that decimal equivalent is a plus or minus thing, something like that. I, of course, don't wish to confuse you, but I was just curious, that's all.
Well, generally, only where you're using plus or minus. The only general place you're using minus is you're minusing two addresses, for one for your network address and one for your broadcast addresses. Does everybody understand what a broadcast address is?
Okay. It's better if you can just elaborate a bit on that also, Mr. Day.
Yeah, a broadcast address is when you want to send a message out to every workstation on that subnet, which is all, and a broadcast address is all ones.
That is unicast, multicast, and broadcast, okay?
Yeah, broadcast address is sent out to everyone on your network. It's like when a integrated router or a router is trying to assign an IP address to a workstation, it sends out an ARP request, and it sends out a broadcast to all, through all its ports, to discover what it's connected to it, and then assigns addresses and so on.
So in case of now if it is enabled in the network, when we message using that netsend command, if we put the wildcard star, then the message is distributed to all the members in the network, no? Then that is casted through the broadcast address, is it?
Broadcast addresses are generally when you're trying to discover what's connected. That's generally where that's used.
Okay, otherwise, apart from that connectivity checking, we don't have any use with broadcast, is it?
No, it's a discovery process. It's basically a discovery process of what's connected. and where to send the message.
Okay, got it.
I think we'll cut that off there for today. I think we've sort of covered, if you want to listen back through the what we've recorded today. I'll save that and put it up this afternoon. And then, as I say, there's no class next Saturday, but I want you to spend this week considering what you don't understand or what you need more clarification on, and send me emails or an email letting me know which area of the course that you need more understanding of, and then we can cover that in greater detail in point form, not next Saturday but the following one, and I can go through you individually. Is everybody happy with that?
Yes,
yeah, of course.
Yes, please.
Rassica?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you understand what I meant by email me the things that you aren't sure of through the course, or Ashoka, would you like to elaborate in your native language, please?
I think he understood, Mr. Dean.
Okay, well, that's good, yep. Is there anything else that anybody would like to bring up today before we close off? Or anything that you issues or having or anything like that?
Mr. Adams, isn't it better, like, I don't know whether we are too quick to this, but a date or something to determine that that we can, I mean, all of us can do the module exams or something like that?
So say again?
I mean, I was wondering whether, like, if we can set up a date for us to, I mean, try the module exams also, like, other than doing it individually, I thought it's kind of better. So, if you can do it,
you've got to do them individually anyway.
Yeah, some of course, you might... but is it fine, like, if... Is it okay if, each individual just doing different levels, like, I mean... For instance, if
that's
I
fine.
Be able to do it, kind of. Okay.
No, you need to be just doing it at your own pace. Because you've all got work commitments, do the module exams as soon as you can. And if you feel as though you haven't done well enough with one, leave it for a week and then study that module exam or ask me questions, and then have it. You can do it twice. I think you can actually do it up to three times, but generally twice is enough for most people. Some of the way the wording is in some of the questions, you've got to really think about the way the question's written, and you've really got to make sure that you download the picture descriptions for the module tests, because there are certain questions that have pictorial questions in them, but there is up on QCAT a list of Discovery 1 exam descriptions up there for you already. And then when you're ready to do your exams, if they aren't up already, just post a request to the CAVI instructors and someone will put the exams up for you when you've requested them at the time and day that you request them, to have at your convenience. But let them know you're in Sri Lanka so they know what time to put them up.
Okay.